First of all, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews, a very familiar verse, as we look at the subject of faithfulness to God and His house. Faithfulness to God and His house. Hebrews chapter 11. As we first of all try to define faith again, to remind us, all of you know what faith is, but again, we want to look at faith, we want to define faithfulness, and then we'll get on to our subject today. Father, once again, we thank you for this time you've given us. We thank you for the Word of God, Lord, that you've allowed us to have in our hand, have in our home, and God, that we can read it, we can study it, and Lord, we can learn more about you, and God, you can deal with our hearts, God, through your love, and Lord, help us to see our need, Lord, to be saved. God, you can forgive us and you can save us. God, we thank you for the Word of God now. And Lord, I just pray, God, as we come together, may the Word today have its will and way in our hearts and lives as we look upon faithfulness, Lord, to you. Lord, you are certainly worthy, Lord, of all our praise, our honor, and our glory. God, you're so faithful to us. And God, help us today as we focus upon this subject now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, Hebrews 11, 6, the Bible says, "But without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, question, how can we please God? Huh? Tell me. Huh? Have faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. The only way we as human beings can please God is to have faith. We need more faith every day in our life. I do. And the way we please God is by our faith. Now, faith is to trust, okay? Faith is to trust, to rely upon. We see faithfulness is trustworthiness. In other words, trustworthiness, he's worthy to trust. God is worthy to trust, is he not? He's worthy to trust. And also, it also implies dependability. God is dependable. God has never let me down. Never has. I've let him down many times, but God has never let me down. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. And we're talking about today faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God and then to his house as we look today. We find in this verse, Hebrews 11, 6, we see here that we cannot please God without faith. In other words, God himself works through faith and faith alone. That's how God works, by faith. We also see that faith is a gift from God. He gives it to us through his word and his Holy Spirit. He imparts faith to us as he, before we were saved, he convicted us. It helped us to see our need to be saved. He's giving us faith because we're hearing the Word of God. And we're trusting Him, we're believing Him, we're accepting what He says through His Word. That's building our faith, trusting Him. Every time we read the Word of God, our faith hopefully is increased by that. We also see faith is active. Faith is active. Faith is not dead. Faith is alive. Faith is moving. Faith is believing, trusting. And all these things, faith is not dead, it's alive. When we put our faith in God, faithfulness in God, we know that we're putting our faith in someone that is alive and well and working for us and to us every day of our life. I thank God for the faithfulness of God, don't you? He's never let us down, folks. He never has. And he never will. He never will. We see that through the Scriptures, as we read the Scriptures, we see his faith. Faith is the way that we respond. We respond to God by faith. We respond to His Word by faith. We respond to His actions by faith. All that we do through the Scriptures, we find that we all respond in our lives by faith. By faith, that's trusting. Has anybody here ever seen God? No, we never have. But we believe in God, don't we? We believe in God how? By faith. We put our trustworthiness, our faith is in God. And his word that we have. See, if we wouldn't have the word of God, we'd have a harder time believing in God, would we not? But we have the Word of God that He's given to us to prove that who He is God. And He's worthy certainly to be praised and to worship, you see. We see also God Himself initiates in us a relationship. He does that through His Word and through the Spirit of God. In other words, we will never have faith apart from God trying to initiate it to us. He gives it to us through His Word. Many people today don't have faith in God because they don't hear God's Word. They don't believe God's Word. The key to us in trying to reach people to Christ is to present the Word of God. I mean, it's good to tell our testimony. We should. But the most important thing is to share with people the Word of God, because the Word of God initiates that faith, that relationship for those people, to those people, for God, to God. So we see that that's how God works, is through His Word. God Himself expects people to trust Him. You know that? He wants us to trust Him. He expects us to trust Him because of who He is. He created us. He made us in His image and His likeness. He's given us breath to live. He's giving us health to live every day. He expects us to trust Him even in every day we go, every day we live. But many times we don't trust Him. Sometimes our faith is tested, is it not? Our faith is tested in our lives because of circumstances or whatever we may be confronted with. But God Himself expects people to trust Him. And failure to trust God, when we fail to trust God, this was the cause, folks, of the first sin. You know that? The first sin was created because Adam and Eve failed to trust God. They failed to trust God. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. We're talking about faithfulness to God, putting our faith in God, trusting God. We see here the account here as temptation of Eve, the temptation by the serpent, Satan himself. We see here, first of all, you know, that God created the heavens and the earth. He created mankind. He created a Garden of Eden for man to live in. He gave him a wonderful place to live in. He gave Adam a helpmate to be with, a companion, if you please. You can't imagine it is a wonderful place of the Garden of Eden. What a beautiful place it must have been. But yet God had one stipulation for Adam and Eve. That word did not partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. And the day you do, you're going to surely die. Now, all they had to do was be faithful to God and do what God says, and if they would, everything would be okay. But faithfulness to God here is tested. We see this. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you what? Lest you die. Okay. And the serpent said unto the woman, verse 4, You shall not surely die. Isn't that just like Satan? You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree to be a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And notice the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." The faith that we see here, the faithfulness to God has been tested here, to Adam and also to Eve. And we see what happened here. First of all, we see they were innocent before they did this, weren't they? They were innocent. They were innocent beings, a man and wife. They were innocent, fellowship from God, being in a wonderful place that God gave them. They were innocent to begin with. And then we see what happened. The innocent was tempted. They were tested, if you please, of God's faithfulness. Does God say what he means? Does God mean what he said? Does he? He does. And we see here that Adam and Eve, they were tested of the faithfulness of God. You and I in our lives daily sometimes are tested of the faithfulness of God, aren't we? The faithfulness of God. Is God really God? Why did that happen? You know, why am I facing this in my life? Yes, we need to recognize that God cannot change. God has been God. He will be God. He will continue to be God until eternity, all throughout eternity. He changes not. So we see here that the innocent was tempted here. The tempter, we know, was the devil in the shape and likeness of a serpent here. Again, we're looking at their faithfulness to God is tested. Temptations comes to us in many shapes and forms, does it not? All kinds of forms today, especially, tonight more than ever. We can look at everywhere we turn around, there's temptation. The person tempted, first of all, was who? Who was it? Eve. She was tempted, Eve. Eve was tempted here, first of all. Now, notice something happening here about Satan. This is the way he works, folks. This is the way he works. And we're looking at faithfulness to God. Eve was now alone. Okay? She was alone in the garden. She was not too far from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And then here, this is the plan of Satan. This is how he works. He knows when you're the weakest. He knows when I'm the weakest in my life. And he knows how to confront us with things when we're weak, to test us. You were tested this morning about coming to church, were you not? Should I go or should I not? Looked at the weather many times, out in the winter many times. And is it going to sleet? Is it going to rain? What's it going to do? I looked out the window and I saw my neighbors. They were coming out of the porch. Both of them grabbed umbrellas. They come to the cars. I said, okay, God, you give me the sign. It's time to go to church. You know, if my neighbors are going, I'm going to go too. You know, but you know, we were tested sometimes of our faithfulness to God. And y'all are faithful people. I know you are because you're here today in Sunday school. As Brother Bob said, some people didn't come today because of the weather. And what a shame. Faithfulness to God is very important. Now, God wants us to have faith. He don't want us to be foolish, but he wants us to have faith in him whenever it's time to do what God wants us to do. Now, notice his plan to talk to her alone, Satan. That was his plan. What did he do? See, we find she was apart from her husband, not too far, but apart from her husband. She was near the forbidden tree, and then we see that he tempted Eve. He tempted Eve first, did he not? Why did he tempt Eve first?
Weaker.
He tempted Eve that he might use Eve to tempt Adam. You see? And women know how men are. And men know how women are. Amen. You know, and we see here, this is the work of Satan. This is how he does. He's clever, folks. He's clever here. He's testing their faithfulness to God, both of them. Does God believe? Does God say what he means? And does it mean what he says? Don't eat of that tree, because when you do, you're going to die. He's testing them. Satan is testing them here of God's faithfulness. Do you really believe God? Do you really believe what God said is true? That's what he's saying to them here. Now notice, he was to persuade Eve, first of all, to eat that fruit. That's the work of Satan. He was going to persuade Eve to eat that fruit first. We see here, they say, these people that telemarketers or whoever they are, they call the houses, you know, want to sell things to people. You know who they want to talk to? The wife. They want to talk to the wife first. You know, because if they get the wife is going to probably give in more than the man will. And then if she can get the woman to listen, then the woman can get the man to listen. I mean, that's the way things work today. This is what exactly Satan did right here. See? He was to persuade Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. He questioned whether it was sin or not in verse number 1. Verse number 1, look at it. He says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the every tree of the garden. You see the test? Here is a test here. He questioned here whether it was sin or not. Is it really going to be wrong for you to do this? All of us have been tested, haven't we? Is it really wrong for me to do this? Should I really do this, or should I not? Well, we see here she's questioned whether it was sin or not. He denies that there was any danger in verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. He says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Eve, there's going to, you know, you can eat this fruit, you know, you're not going to die. It's going to be okay. You know, again, testing their faithfulness to God. Does God mean what he said? Is that going on in Eve's mind? I wonder. Is she even thinking that? You know, God said, don't eat of it. Is God right or is the serpent right? Who's right here? Right, he's right. In other words, he's testing her faithfulness. God's faithfulness. Her faithfulness to God. Notice also, he suggested also in verse number 5, much advantage. Look what he said. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as who? God's, knowing good and evil. He always plants a picture, don't he? A pretty picture in front of you, Satan does. Here. So we see here, and what's happening here is faithfulness to God is being tested. He questioned whether it was a sin or not to eat of the tree, and whether the fruit was forbidden. He questioned that to Eve. And we see the results of what happened here. You know, God himself, he inspires and he nurtures trust through what he says and what he does for the benefit of his people. Of people. We have to trust God. God wants to help us. God wants to help us. God exists outside of us. Do you know that? Also, he exists outside of us as individuals. As a believer, of course, we know he lives within us. But he exists outside of us who is individuals. And we receive trust generated from us from individuals. From individuals. Through God. You know, if I hadn't had a Bible teacher, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher when I was coming up to listen to, I probably would never have heard about God. I know I would not. And I would never have put any faith in God. But because of other individuals, God has enabled me to put my faith in God. And you also. See, I owe my faith in God to other people also. Because of their faithfulness, because of their teaching, their preaching the Word of God to me. And God using the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to convict me and draw me to Christ and put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, God and His words are faithful, they're constant, and they're reliable, folks. You can count on God's Word. We can count on God's Word all the time. Our number one responsibility in life is to be faithful to God, no matter what comes, to be faithful to God. I must confess, sometimes it's hard whenever you're going through tragedies and hard times in life. It's hard. But our number one responsibility as a believer is to have faith in God. Put our faith in God. Always have faith in God, you see. Why? Because trusting God makes things come out right. I have never trusted God for something that was questionable to me and it come out wrong. All I ever trust God for, it always comes out right. Because God is faithful. God is trustworthy. He's dependable. And therefore, if I can trust Him, and you can trust Him in our life. And I'm glad today to know that we can do that. First of all, we see faithfulness to God, we must choose. We must choose sides. Am I going to trust God? Am I going to trust myself? Am I going to trust the world? Like we talked about last month, what did Moses do? See, He chose. He refused and he chose. We had to refuse and then we have to choose. Okay? We see here, we must choose sides. In this world, we're in a war, folks. You know that? We're in a spiritual war. There are things going on all the time that trying to discourage us to live for God and to serve God. We're in a spiritual warfare all the time in our life. All the time. Brother Lester Roloff said many years ago, this world is not a recreation ground, it's a battlefield. And it is. It's a battlefield. It's a constant battle in our life every day, you know, as far as the Christian is concerned. So we see that we must choose and recognize, I'm going to put my faith in God regardless of what happens in my life. Now, I know I can stand here and say that, and it's easy. But I know also, if something comes in my life to shake me, so to speak, I'm going to question that, and so are you. But we still have to put our faith in God because He's worthy, He's trustworthy, He's dependable all the time. God never changes. He's always the same. He's always the same. We've got to remember, in choosing sides, we have a great leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our leader. He's our master. He's our Lord. He's our leader in our life as we go through this life here. Well, also, we have a leader that leads by example. He's not just saying he's a leader. He leads by an example for what he's done. Look what Jesus has done for you and I. He put faith in his Father, did he not? He came. You can read about that in John chapter 4, verse 31 through 34. Jesus is faithful to God. Turn around, let's look at that. John chapter 4. We know the situation of what happened. Jesus come by Samaria and talked to the woman at the well and all this. And he talked to her and then the woman went away. And the disciples come up to talk to Jesus in chapter 4, look at verse number 31. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They went down to McDonald's and got some food to come back, so to speak. And he was there with the Samaritan woman witnessing to her and leading her to Christ. And now I find that the ladies left and the disciples come back to Jesus and said, ask him, Master, have you anything to eat? Have you had anything to eat? We ate. Do you have anything to eat? And he says in verse number 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, notice, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Jesus said that to his disciples. Now notice it says, therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They were confused. Has anybody gave him something to eat? We didn't see it. You know? But notice what he said in verse 34. And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the what? Will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That was his meat. That was his desire. That was what he wanted to do, you see. Jesus was faithful to God. He was faithful to God in what he came here to do, and he did it. He did it. Therefore, he wants us to be faithful also. He wants us to be faithful also. So we see, first of all, faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God. God help us to be faithful to him. Secondly, we see faithfulness to his house. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Faithfulness to his house. In chapter 10, look at verse number 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24. This is a very important verse. Hebrews 10, verse 24. The Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us, who should we consider? Tell me. One another. Why? For the purpose of what? Provoking them, okay? Provoke means to encourage, to stimulate somebody, to try to encourage somebody. Notice what too? He says, unto love and to good works. Unto good works. That's just something that we should consider one another to provoke unto love and towards every good work. That is the faithfulness to God's house we see. This is the importance here. We should be willing to encourage someone. You know the most important way that we can encourage one another as believers is to be here at God's house when it's time to be here. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You encourage me when you're here. Hopefully I encourage you when you're here. All of us encourage a pastor when we're all here. Amen? And it's very important that we provoke one another. We stimulate one another with love, to be in God's house. This is what we ought to be doing. This is faithfulness to His house. Faithfulness to be together with God's people. I'll be honest with you, I don't know anywhere I'd rather be. Really, I don't. In God's house with God's people. I mean, there's more here for me than there is out there in that world that I want. Hopefully that I want. I know there's more out there offered me, but what I should want, if I'm being faithful to God, I want to be faithful to His house. Therefore, I want to be here to get what I need. So I'm going to be prepared when I go out there in the world to be what God wants me to be. Because I can't apart from faith. And again, how do we get faith? From the Word of God. Reading it, teaching it, studying it, being preached to us. All these things are, all together, you see. And we need to be willing to give and to receive help, exhortation, and instruction always in God's house. And that's where we get it from. Love and good works are to be awakened towards fellow believers. Fellow believers, love and good works, as we look at this. Now notice the evidence of this in verse number 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're to be exhorting one another, assembling and fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ. When our zeal dies, our faith weakens. Our zeal dies, our faith weakens in coming to God's house. We must have a desire to fellowship with other believers. Because when we do, we're strengthened. When we don't, they're weakened, and so are we. So are we. Now, a couple things about church attendance. It's very important to be at church. It's very important to be at Sunday school. Years ago, over 30 years ago, there were what we call cultural Christians. They were people that come to church for, number one, society. They be with the in crowd, so to speak. Be with the social people. They came for society. They came for political reasons, or they came for business reasons. I can remember back years ago in the 60s and 70s and maybe 80s, people come to church to try to get their business built up. Really. Realtors come to church to try to find out who needed a house, who's going to buy a house. I mean, you think I'm telling you a story? I'm not. That's the reason they come to church, to try to build their business. Cultural Christians. That was 30 years ago. Well, today you don't see them. They're gone. They're not in church no more. They're gone. You see, they're not in church no more. Secondly, we see also there was church members are attending less frequently today. Church members are attending church less frequently. They may come Sunday morning. We'll have a crowd this morning coming in for church. You won't see them again the next morning, next Sunday morning for church. They're coming less frequently to church. They do that, you see. Those that do this, and again, 30 years ago, active church members attended church three times a week, Monday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Nowadays, in some quote churches, it's active to come three times a week, three times a month. I'm talking about on Sunday morning. A lot of churches just have church on Sunday morning, from 10:30 to 11 o'clock, 11:30, whatever, and then you go home. No Sunday night, no Wednesday night. You ain't got to deal with that. Just come on Sunday morning as you are, leave as you are, and that kind of situation they have. We have that to face today. Do you realize? I read this week, there are some churches that if you join that church, you had to fill out a card. And on that card, you had to fill out how much your income is, And you had to commit to tithe to that church to be a member. Anybody heard of that? Yeah. There are churches like that. You commit when you join that church to tithe your income. As far as I'm concerned, that's a weak Christian. You got to commit to a church to tithe. I commit to God to tithe what He has blessed me with, you know. But that's where we are today, folks. First of all, there's a culture of Christians. There's church members that attend less frequently. And then there are also expectations are lower for church members. That's why attendance is not sometimes good. We see there is an expectation of lower for church members. We should expect something from our people when they come to church. Have you ever knocked on a door and someone says, can I help you? In other words, what can I do for you? You out here knocking on doors, but what can I do for you? We have something to offer them. The best thing they could ever have in their life is God's Word. But they want to know what we can do for them. You know, very little is expected of many members in many churches today. You know that? Very little is expected. You don't have to dress to reference God. You know, you can dress like you want to dress. You can do what you want to do. Folks, we need to be accountable to God. As a believer, we're accountable to God. And the church is accountable to make the people accountable, you know, to God. Realize this is God's house. This is just not a whatever you want to call it, theater. But this is God's house. This is the church. This is God's church. We need to recognize this. We also see, if we expect little of our members, you know what's going to happen? That's exactly what you're going to get. I thank God for this attendance card right here. I really do. If we didn't have this attendance card, we will probably see less of our teachers here than we do now. Because they know, and I know, I'm accountable. I'm accountable to be here. If I ain't here, if I miss 7 times in 2 quarters, I'm out. I've got to step down because I'm not faithful. And that's the way it should be, for what I'm concerned. You know, we need to really realize it should be expected of our members. They have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. We all do. Okay, what is at stake? If I don't come to church like I should, what is at stake? What's going to happen? First of all, the unity of the body is going to be hurt. In other words, when you're not here, there's somebody that's thinking about you and where are you at, and they're concerned about you, whether you recognize that or not. People want to know where you are, what's going on in your life. Number two, if we don't come to church, we're not going to grow spiritually. You realize most people today do not read their Bible at home. They do not pray much at home. Only Bible they get is when they come to Sunday school and come to church. That's all they hear. It's sad, but that's the way it is. So if I don't come to church faithfully, I'm not going to grow spiritually. Okay? That's something else that's at stake. Also, what's at stake, we disconnect from the body of Christ. We disconnect from the body of Christ. You know, I love my family. I love to see my brother and my sister. I don't want to be disconnected from them. Do you, your bloodline? No, I don't. I don't want to be disconnected from God's house either, from God's people. Therefore, I want to come. And when we don't come faithfully, God says, we are disconnecting ourselves from the body of Christ. We're disconnecting ourselves, saying, I don't need them. They're not going to miss me. You know, God says we're to be faithful. We're to be faithful. We're to be faithful to God's house. We're to be faithful. I know there's sickness. I know there's all kinds of things sometimes that keep us in God's house. I'm not condemning anybody. But I'm saying that as long as we got health and strength and we're able, we are to be in God's house. We ought to be in God's house, you know. Because it helps one another. Helps one another. God help us to be faithful to Him, first of all, and God help us today to be faithful to His house. May this be our prayer today. Lord, slow me down and inspire me, Lord, as you slow me down, to establish my faith deep into the eternal values that I may grow towards my eternal home. Slow me down, God. I think that's what all of us need to do. Don't you? Just slow down. Slow down. Put things in order. Put the first things first and trust God. May God help us as we look at this today. Faithfulness to God and faithfulness to His house. Next week, we're going to talk about faithfulness to God's Word. Read Psalm 119. That's where we're going to be next week, Lord willing. Psalm 119, faithfulness to God's Word. Father, thank you today for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us today through your Word to realize that you're faithful, God, and we can put faith in you. Lord, I thank you to God today that you've planted within our hearts a desire, Lord, to trust you and to be in your house. Thank you for these, Lord, that come so faithfully. I pray you bless them. Lord, bless them. The service we're about to go into, have your will and way in every heart and life. And God, may if there's someone here that's lost, I pray they might be saved today. That's our preacher. That's the singing today. In Jesus' name, amen.